As I said last week, we fix our eyes on the prize and not the problem. And so our faith should make a difference when we go through difficult times in our lives, and especially when we face kind of the ultimate challenge of death. And that's what we're going to be kind of talking about today. As a pastor, I've been with a lot of people in those kind of those final weeks and months and days and hours. And something I can tell you, it's kind of sad to say, but not everybody has what I would call a good death. And just an example of that, once I knew a pastor once who he was beloved by the churches that he served, and was really, he was almost a legend out in Ohio. And when he came to the end of his life, and I know he was a man of great faith, but his end was, he was fearful, he was trying to control everything around him, and I think that had served him pretty well as a pastor, that desire to control and kind of make things happen. But it doesn't really work when you're dying. On the other hand, I have known people who go through difficult times and people who face their own death, and they do it with such grace, and somehow, even as their body is failing, their spirit just burns brighter, and you see that love and hope and joy present in them in ways that are really amazing. Since Easter, we have been exploring, like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus who encountered the risen cross or the risen Christ, we have been learning what it means to walk in the newness of a resurrected life. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And since this is the last sermon in our series, we're going to be exploring what happens at the end of our mortal earthly life. And of course, the promise of Scripture is that we continue to live. We live forever. And those who are in Jesus Christ live eternally, life eternally. But figuring out and describing exactly what that is kind of difficult. And even if you make a real study of Scripture. And Paul even said, and I mentioned this last week in my sermon, in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "Now we see in a mirror dimly." In this world, we really don't have a complete understanding of how things work, and especially of the life after this death. If somebody claims they know exactly what happens, beware, they're probably trying to sell you something most of the time. But then, Paul says, in the life after this death, then we will know, then we will see face to face, and we will know even as we have been known. But until that time, until we see what comes next with our own resurrected eyes, I think we're always going to be a little bit like the little boy who came home from preschool and announced that he'd won the quiz. He'd gotten first place in the quiz that day. And the question had been, how many legs does a horse have? And his answer was 3. And his mom said, "Well, how in the world did you win with an answer like that?" And he said, "Well, everybody else said 2. 2 legs makes sense. He'd been a little bit closer, though, to the right answer. And I think the same is true with death and what happens to us after we die. We may have an answer. It may actually be a little closer to the truth than somebody else's answer, but again, until we get to that, into the next life, it's all just speculation. And the Bible doesn't really do a whole lot to answer those questions. There's lots of different images, and there's lots of different ideas, and those ideas are interpreted a lot of different ways. But there is one idea that the Bible returns to over and over again, and that is that some kind of life continues on after we die, after our physical bodies die. And so that's, again, that's what we're going to be exploring today. And that's a notion that Paul addresses a lot. Our scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians, and Paul is really interested in this idea and this question, and he addresses it a lot in his letters, but especially in 1 and 2 Corinthians. And I've always suspected that the Christians in Corinth had a lot of questions about this, as we do, too, because Paul writes about it a lot in his letters. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 15, he spends a whole chapter. If you ever want to read a whole chapter on this subject, just open it up to 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about the resurrection of the body, the resurrection that we will have a spiritual body, that we will be changed. It ends with those words, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, we will be changed, and the dead will be raised imperishable." It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. And so that idea of resurrection, that idea of eternal life, is one that's really central to our faith. But what does it mean to us now? What does it mean for us in the life that we live in this world to believe that some part of us continues on forever with God? And I think Paul kind of gets at that really, really well in our scripture reading today from 2 Corinthians. How should our faith in an eternal life with God impact how we live, especially when we go through struggles, especially when we face our own death? And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Now, as I was reading this text about our outer nature wasting away, there was a quote, and I wasn't sure who said it, but I found out that it was actually the Hollywood screen actress Bette Davis said, "Old age ain't no place for sissies." And I've heard some variation of that in a number of different places. And that's true. When you've got fewer years ahead of you than you have behind you, you start to understand what that means. I also have to agree with this, whoever said this, "Middle age is when you finally get your head together and your body starts falling apart." totally can relate to that. And that's why Paul's words in 2 Corinthians are I think, a word of hope to us. Because even though our outer nature may be wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. So when we look in the mirror and we see that body that is aging and wrinkling and sagging and maybe even dying, we can be confident and we can have hope that there is a spark within us that can be renewed day by day by God, that that can continue to burn bright and grow brighter even as the rest of us falls apart. But as you've probably heard me say before, that doesn't happen by accident. That is a choice that we must make, not just once, but over and over again. There's a movie that came out, I can't believe it's clear back in 1994 now, but it's a favorite movie for a lot of people. And if you're not familiar with it, Tim Robbins' character is, at the beginning of the movie, he is convicted for a murder that he didn't commit, his own wife. So his wife is murdered, and then he's put in jail for it. And then he's in prison, and he's mistreated there. He's put in isolation. And finally, somebody asks him, "How do you keep going? How do you keep doing this?" And his response is, "I guess it comes down to a simple choice. Either get busy living or get busy dying." And I'm surprised how many people make that second choice instead of the first. Our job, especially our job as believers, is to continue living because we are in a life that lasts forever. So how do we get that life? How do we live into that life that is both abundant and eternal? The short answer to that is that we believe in Jesus. That's the Bible is clear. That's the short answer. It's all about Jesus. We die to selfishness and sin, and we live to Him. He lives in us and through us, and when we come alive to God, we live forever. That's the simple answer, and that's kind of the short answer. And the good news is that if you're alive and awake and able to hear that message, it's not too late for you. You can believe in Jesus too. And you can come alive in a way that that you can't do yourself. You can't do alone. Now, I haven't seen a whole lot of deathbed conversions. I have to agree with the guy that said those who wait to get right with God until the 11th hour often die at 10:30. And so you don't want to wait. People do, but you don't want to because you don't know when the end is going to come. But I can tell you this, that it doesn't matter how late we come. And Jesus talks about that. He tells parables about that. Doesn't matter how late we come, he is going to love us and receive us and bring us to life. And I've seen that. And I want to tell you a story about that because this is one of my favorite stories. I've never shared this here. It's a story about a guy named Joe. I'm actually using their real names. I know they wouldn't mind. His wife, Audrey, was an active member of the church that I served, and she was a saint of the church. I mean, she was just a beautiful spirit, so giving. She was in worship every week, but she could never get him to come with her. And Joe developed Parkinson's disease, and she cared for him at home, and I would go and I would visit them both, and I would chat with him about the Bible, I would chat with him about God. He had an interest in it, but he would never take that next step. Well, eventually he got so sick that he needed to be put in hospice. And we had this inpatient hospice facility in Dayton that was beautiful. There was a lake behind it. And I was visiting with him at the hospice, and he told me something that surprised me. He said, I want to make my confession of faith and be baptized. And I said, okay. And he said, I want my whole family here. And so everybody got called, and the next day I went, and his whole family was there, grandkids and kids, and I said, Joe, we're going to do this just like it was a Sunday morning at church. And I said, do you believe, I extended to him the right hand of fellowship, and I said, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and do you give your life to him as your personal Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, I do. And then I took some water, and I anointed his head, and said, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you now. And then I said a prayer with his family and with him, and I went home. And it was a great day, and it's a great story. I mean, it's a beautiful story because it doesn't happen very often. But it actually gets even better than that because after I'd been home just a short time, his daughter calls me and says, you're not going to believe what happened. Just happened. She said, right after you left, a thunderstorm rolled in, and it rained just for a minute or two, and then the clouds opened up, and there was a beautiful rainbow over the lake right behind the hospice. She said it was almost as if God was celebrating that Joe made his confession of faith and had come home, and that he was now brought to life. And it was beautiful. And Joe, he lived, I think, for another week or two, but just like Paul describes in 2 Corinthians, even as his body grew weaker and weaker, his spirit just seemed to grow more and more joyful and more beautiful and just continued to shine. And when we had the celebration of his life, it was a real celebration. And a year after that, it was Easter, post-Easter, like we're at right now, and I was working on a sermon, and I said, you know what? I haven't told anybody this story. I'm going to tell this story. And I called Audrey, and I asked her if it'd be okay if I shared it again, and she said, absolutely. And once again, all of the grandkids and all the kids showed up that Sunday, and we celebrated Joe's life again as I shared the good news with everyone else. The Apostle Paul lived out that kind of resurrection faith, and he lived that faith out right to the very end. There's a portion of his letter in Philippians where he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What he meant by that is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I live or I die. If I die, I get to go to be with Jesus. I get to walk even more closely with him. But if I live, I get to serve him. So whether we live, whether we die, it doesn't really matter. That's the kind of hope that we live in. There's a story that I love to tell that's, I think, a perfect illustration of this. Sometimes use it at funerals, so a few of you may have heard me tell this before. It's about President John Quincy Adams as he approached the end of his life. And the story goes that when he was about 80 years old, he was hobbling down the street on his cane in his favorite town of Boston. And a friend of his saw him out going down the street, and he clapped him on the back, and he said, how's John Quincy Adams this fine morning? And Adam said, "Fine, fine, sir, just fine." He said, "But this old tenement that John Quincy's living in is not so good." He said, "The underpinning is about to fall apart. It's just fallen away." He said, "The thatch is all gone off the roof." And he said, "The windows are so dim that John Quincy can hardly even see out. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if before winter's over, John Quincy Adams has to move out. But as for John Quincy Adams, he's just fine. He's just fine." And he continued down the street, believing without a shadow of a doubt that John Quincy Adams was not a body that could be interred in a casket or buried in a grave, but a spirit that will live forever. And again, that is the resurrection hope that we have. That when we come alive to God, that is a life that never ends. When we believe in Jesus, that's a life that never ends. It begins now, and it's abundant, and it goes on forever. And if you're hearing this message today, and you haven't responded already, it's not too late. You too can believe. And if you're hearing this message, then it's also not too late to share it with someone else. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that promise of eternal life and for what that brings to our lives now, for the hope that brings, no matter what we might face, even our own deaths. Help us to believe in Jesus. Help us to come alive in him, because we know that is a life that lasts forever. And help us to share that good news with others. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.